This is the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast on the 17th of July, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank, joined today by Eric Pfeiffer, C.J. Miller, and Sabrina Halverson on the news, including a visit to Washington by Indiana corn and soybean farmers, and Eric is with them. Also good news for farmland buyers in a new report. The HAT Podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com to learn more and stop by your local branch. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin is here, calling for lingering moisture in parts of Indiana, but then improving weather. And mixed markets yesterday, corn and beans higher. Arlen Suderman, market analysis, coming up on the HAT Wednesday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal opportunity lender.
Hey, this is Brian Schrader.
Carl Jorn.
And Ben Jacob.
And we're the hosts of the Indiana Pioneer Agronomy Podcast. Each episode, we cover up-to-date field and crop conditions for growers throughout the state of Indiana, talk to guests about the latest pests, diseases, agronomic technologies, and much more. You can find new episodes weekly on your preferred podcast platform.
Why several Indiana corn and soybean farmers are in Washington, D.C. this week. And is it still a good time to buy or sell farmland? I'm C.J. Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Well, Indiana corn and soybean farmers are in the nation's capital this week, and our Eric Pfeiffer is there with them. Eric?
Thanks, CJ. Members of the Indiana Corn Growers Association and Indiana Soybean Alliance Membership and Policy Committee are advocating for better policy in D.C. this week as they meet with other corn and soybean growers from around the country. Ferdinand, Indiana farmer J.R. Reisner is an Indiana Corn Growers Association board member and a National Corn Board member. He says Monday and Tuesday were set aside for the seven different NCGA action teams to meet and discuss policy priorities. There are seven NCGA action teams.
Currently, I sit on the production technology access action team, so we work a lot in the biotech with crop protection, fertilizer, and with some of the stuff we're seeing within the Endangered Species Act. It's part of what my team is handling right now, and so we're really focused on that. We're really focused on, you know, some of the sustainability pieces within that and making sure that the American farmer and the Indiana farmer have the tools they need to produce the crop that the world needs.
The other action teams revolve around ethanol, market development, member and consumer engagement, risk management and transportation, stewardship, and sustainable ag research. Hill visits with congressional staffers will take place Wednesday to share about the urgency of getting a farm bill done, among other important topics. Reisner reminds Hoosier farmers to get involved in the policy process if you're not already.
No checkoff dollars can be used for policy work, so everything we do on the policy side is through our memberships, through sponsorships, and the people that are involved with it are very important. And you know, we realize that not everyone has the time to do it, but just having that membership is key, giving the support to these organizations that can fight for the American farmer. And, you know, when we're together, we have a very loud voice, and it's very important for us to continue to fight for that.
You can learn more about getting involved at incornandsoy.org. From Washington, D.C., I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig.
Well, farmland values may be leveling off, but it's still a good time for those looking to sell.
Sabrina Halverson reports how there's also some good news for farmland buyers.
Nothing short of exceptional. That's how Farmers National Company describes the agricultural land market over the last 5 years. According to the company, gains in value are prevalent across all classes of land in every region of the country. Strong commodity markets, moderate interest rates, buyer demand, and an overall healthy agricultural economy also supported the growth of land values during this time.
Right now, we're sitting at what you would still call all-time record highs for U.S. farmland.
Jay Van Gordon is the Farmers National Company area sales manager for the eastern region, including Indiana, Michigan, Ohio, and Kentucky. He says that trend continues.
We've seen a real rapid rise here in about the last 3+ years, starting to level off at this point now.
If you're considering selling, he says things look good now and for the next few months.
Prime selling season tends to be late summer, early fall through the end of the calendar year, as that's when crops are coming off, leases are terminating, and the buyer can most quickly gain control of the land from that standpoint.
It's a different story for potential buyers.
Interest rates are definitely a negative factor for buyers on the buying side, as well as, you know, for farm operators, declining grain markets down to about a 3-4 year here low in the last few weeks, along with inflation factors. You're probably going to want to have part of that purchase, a fairly decent part of that purchase, in cash to really look at buying a property right now.
Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Sabrina Halverson.
And I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig.
Every farming operation has a story with a past, present, and future. Farm Credit Mid-America wants to get to know your farm story because we're a lending cooperative owned by farmers. And that's why we offer a range of loans and services designed to help farmers grow and prosper. Because we know why no one knows a farmer like a farmer does. Learn more about Farm Credit Mid-America and some of our farmer stories at FCMA.com. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. As we move through your Wednesday, we've got lingering moisture over central and southern parts of the state. A cool front is trying to sag southward out of the Great Lakes. I don't think it can take full control till tomorrow. So right along this frontal boundary as it slowly works into Indiana, yep, I think we see activity firing off. I'm going to say anywhere from 1/4 to 1 inch of precipitation today from U.S. 24 southward. North of 24, I don't want to completely rule it out. My gut feeling is we stay mostly dry, but we can see the odd shower up north as well. This does, though, lead to a much better forecast for tomorrow and Friday as we finish the week. Cooler, less humid air coming southward. Temperatures actually a bit below normal for this time of year. Very, very nice overall. The weekend stays low on the humidity scale, even though temperatures climb just a little bit. Next week, I'm going to keep the entire Hoosier State dry Monday through Thursday as well. Now, heat and humidity are going to be climbing in there, so it's not out of the question to see a pop-up shower or thunderstorm any afternoon, but there's nothing well-organized. No frontal boundary, no organized batch of precipitation that's going to try and move through. So that's one of the reasons why I'm keeping us dry Monday through Thursday. I do want to point out, again, that heat and humidity for next week is eventually going to get this atmosphere kind of riled up. We'll see something late next week into the following weekend. But right now, I don't have solid convictions that it's one day over any other at this point. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. Have a great rest of your day. Keep the umbrella handy. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Farmers and agriculture dealers, now is the time to inspect your combines for holes and wear in your threshing, feeder, and grain tank sections. Instead of costly replacements, try combine wear parts from Eile Fabrications, made with the best steel, such as Hardox or Strengths wear plate. Eile's steel wear part liners are easy to install and built to OEM specs to ensure a snug and seamless fit at a cost less than OEM replacement parts. Visit IHLEFabrications.com and elevate your harvest this season. Corn and soybeans higher throughout the Tuesday session. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Tuesday Farm Market Review.
I'll have the settlements coming up. First, why did the markets do what they did? For thoughts on that, I checked in with Arlen Suderman of StoneX at the end of trade. Arlen, a significant Monday sell-off, but then a turnaround Tuesday, although wheat struggled to maintain gains, and corn and beans did not finish on their highs by any means. So not a real impressive rally, but higher nonetheless. Possibly some help from crop ratings announced by USDA Monday?
Yeah, and a little bit of support from last night's storms that crossed through eastern Iowa into Illinois and much of Indiana as well. Overall, even though it technically qualified as a derecho and there were locations that had damage, it was certainly not the widespread damage event like what we saw in August of 2020 by any means. Now, the current weather pattern we're in leaves us vulnerable for such a thing, and it's something we'll have to continue to watch. But overall, the crop ratings not rising gave some support. But the bottom line is we have plenty of supplies around, and USDA's crop report on Friday really emphasized that. And we got a bounce on Friday because the corn stocks projection wasn't as high as predicted, with USDA elevating its demand estimates to keep new crop ending stocks below 2.1 billion bushels. But that's still 2.1 billion bushels. And that reality hit on Monday to the market. And the fact that it was not much of a bounce on Friday suggests that the market was really kind of skeptical of the numbers. So the sell-off then Monday came with, okay, we've got a lot of supplies and we expect a higher crop rating today, suggesting an even bigger crop this year. It was the same. Yield models still went up a little bit because normally crop ratings decline at this time of year, but a little bit of a relief rally here. There's a lot of corn, though, in the bin that has to come to town, and that's really limiting the amount of buying that we see today.
And those crop ratings, even though they didn't change, we need to look at the five-year average to understand that this crop is really good right now.
It really is. We've got a lot of problems in the northwestern Midwest where they had a lot of flooding in June. But the rest of the crop right now is in shape to make up for many of those losses. I do anticipate we'll see harvested acreage come down because of the flooding and ponding problems in the Northwest. We could lose a couple million acres potentially in that region from that. But right now, the yield potential in the other, shall we say, 85% or so of the Midwest is looking real good, particularly with the rains that we're getting now into more mild temperatures.
Now, I was going to ask about the extended forecast and if they seem to be supportive of crop development, which would, of course, lead to pressure on the market.
Yeah, it really does. As we talked about early in the season, one of the things that forecasters said they thought might happen this year would be the high pressure to set up to the southwest of the Midwest, giving us a northwesterly flow over the top of that high across the Midwest. And oftentimes that tends to be associated with good yields, trend or better yields. Now, it took a little while for that pattern to set up, but that is what has happened and looks like that will hold in place at least through the end of this month into early August as well. We get these northwesterly flow with storm clusters developing. High wind events like we had last night are part of the risk of that pattern, but it also does tend to bring us moisture for crop development.
What about the wheat market and any impacts from the Black Sea area currently?
Well, the winter wheat yields so far have come in above expectations. We certainly did see a lot of damage from the spring freeze and from the drought that they had as the crop was developing. So the market had priced in about an 80 million metric ton crop from Russia, or maybe a little bit less. That would be down from initial estimates around 94, 95 million metric tons. But now those estimates have started to come back up. We still do see some risk that they could drop again with the spring wheat crop. That crop went in late because of persistent rains in that area. But now heat and dryness is spreading into the spring wheat area as well. We're seeing very high temperatures. In fact, in some areas, mostly winter wheat and some summer crops in area Rostov, of temperatures up to 122 degrees. But we're also seeing a lot of 95 to 100 degree temperatures in about three-fourths of Ukraine's corn belt as well. So we could see some, probably will see some reduced production estimates from that region as the damage assessment is finally done.
Arlen Suderman there, StoneX and StoneX.com. Now, settlements, September corn, 395 and three quarters, a gain on the day of 5 1/4. These contracts goes 4.5 cents higher, 408 and three quarters, and March up 4 1/4, sitting at 422 now. August beans, 1090 1/2, picking up 12.5 cents. September, 1037 and three quarters, up 4. Novi, 1043 1/4, up 3 1/4. And September wheat, 530 3/4, up 1 3/4. Meat markets strengthened after midday, and August live cattle ended up 55 cents at 182.67. August lean hogs, 91.27, up $2.85. I'm Andy Eubank, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.